is out there, and for the first time in 2 months, tonight we're gonna look for that fucking truth. My name is Shannon Young, and this is I Wanna Believe on the Podzilla 1985 Network. I just remembered that we try not to cuss on this show. Oh well. With me tonight, of course, we've got the man himself, Tanner Calvert.
That's my name.
What does this say?
Oh!
Because I can't read it. Double H is with us tonight.
Not my name.
I can't pronounce your name because it's just a bunch of letters next to each other.
That's what all names are, dude!
And Lindsay Wolfgang.
Yeah, that's a made-up word. All words are made up.
What'd you say?
I said hello.
All birds are made up. Okay.
They're all fake.
It's really throwing me off the fact that you guys are constantly like freezing up on me. And like,
I can get rid of the video and then you don't have to worry about it.
No. I'm just gonna click out of it so I don't see it. That way I won't get distracted. Because what I do is I constantly look at you guys instead of like talking. So let's just fix that now. Okay, we're fixed now. I don't need to see your faces. I know what you all look like. Here's what's going on. The last time we did a show was, I believe, the Scott Walter show. And if you haven't listened to it, please go back and listen to it because we maintain that it is the most batshit insane show we have ever done. We've had the privilege of doing.
Things were revealed. We learned things. We grew as people.
Well,
by the end of the night. And in some ways, we regressed as people.
Yeah, we definitely regressed as people. That is 100% true. I am personally working on returning to monkey. So there's that. All right.
Reject humanity.
Return to monkey. I hate that freezing. I see it over here too, because where the stats and stuff are, I gotta watch. All right,
Tanner froze an hour ago for me. He's just a stuck little box.
I think we are.
Oh, hey, there he goes.
I think we're having Discord problems tonight, so I apologize if you're watching the live feed or if you're watching this later on Pods or on Facebook.com. Of course, you can always catch the audio version on Podzilla1985.com or Spotify, iTunes, wherever it is you want to listen to us. We should probably start plugging things again like we used to. Anyway, let's get to the show. Got a couple things we want to talk about before we get into the meat and potatoes of the thing. Just a couple things to throw at you guys. Number one, and we'll post this in the we'll post this on the Facebook or something. I always say that and then we never do. Look, I'll tell you what, you have Google, right? You can Google this like I did, and then you could also
have phones, right?
You got a phone, you're watching this somehow. Esquire magazine did an interview with Tom DeLonge. Now, if you don't know who Tom DeLonge is, he was the former lead singer or one of the lead singers of Blink-182. He went on to form the band Angels and Airwaves, and I have had a personal fight with lots of people over whether or not he's a better lead singer than Mark Hoppus. And
hi, I'm people.
You and other people and every people, apparently. The only girl that ever agreed with... The only person that ever agreed with me that Tom DeLonge was better was a girl, and she just said she likes them both. And I believe that was Maria, and she took the...
So she didn't agree with you.
She didn't agree with... Well, that's the closest I got. That's the closest I got. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know that I've ever listened to the second guy, so...
Oh, you... If you've heard the song, I Miss You, right?
I don't know.
You know, the one that's like, don't waste your time on me. You're
okay,
wrong.
Yeah,
he's...
Oh, you mean the don't waste your time on me. You're
you
got,
you guys... All right, I just want you to know, we're getting...
inside my head.
I just want you to know that that is racist against deaf people, and we're going to get sued for it. So, none of what I just said... None of what I said just made sense. Anyway. Anyway. So... Tom DeLonge, after he left Blink-182, part of the reason he left Blink-182 and part of the reason he stopped making music with Angels and Airwaves even after was because he went on to form To The Stars Academy, which is a research of, I guess they have a facility and it's an organization that looks into paranormal activity, UFOs, stuff like that, almost like a real life X-Files type thing. And he just did an interview with Esquire that came out, I think, this week. You can find it online, where he talks about, and I remember this is the reason I want to mention it, he talks about the reaction that he got when he left the band to pursue these interests and how everyone made fun of him. They said he was, oh, Tom DeLonge quit a successful band so we can go look for aliens. They mocked him. And then, 10, 15 years later, look where we are, where the To the Stars Academy was at the forefront of the UFO disclosure of the past couple of years. He worked with Luis Elizondo, who we'll talk about here in a couple of minutes, to release these videos, to release this information. So the point of the article is that Tom DeLonge has been vindicated all these years later because the culture is catching up to what he set out to do all those years ago. And it's a really interesting read, and I've always liked Tom DeLonge. He comes across very well in this interview. He talks about how, he's grown up and how things have changed and what he's interested in. It's a good read. Go read it. It's a good read. I thought it was very, very, very good, and this is just more proof that Tom DeLonge was the better singer. Excuse me for a second.
It's not. but I will point out that, so I didn't know until just now that I'm looking at this, the wiki basically for the Stars Academy, and I wonder if, maybe this isn't fair, but I wonder if the fact that they have an entertainment division leads to some further skepticism of the way that they operate. So if you look at their the way that they're lined out, their Wikipedia says outright, so To the Stars is a company. They call themselves an academy,
right?
But that's academy implies that they're you go and you learn, and it's do have some learning tools and such.
No,
but it's not like a school.
No, it's more like it's more like academy sports. It's a corporation. It's a business.
Right. Right. And they have a fairly hefty entertainment leg called To the Stars Media. They have albums, books, TV shows, films. They have done a short animated film for the History Channel.
I know that.
They've done some stuff I know actually the animated film was a separate thing. They did Unidentified for the History Channel, the Inside America's UFO investigation back in 2019. So it's a kind of strange little marriage of, they even describe themselves in their basic description as, what was it? Something to the effect of marrying pop culture with, science and these, and that's a great concept and that's good,
right,
for getting, for lack of a better term, the layperson involved, the people, right, who are basically are following in the footsteps that we are. We grew up with the X-Files. We grew up with this interest in these things. How do we bridge the gap between that and here's the actual hard science,
right,
figure it out.
Right.
But I also wonder if the downside of that, because I didn't know this until literally just now, if the downside of that is people look at it and go, y'all a TV company. It's the old AEW bit of, you a t-shirt company. Until you actually do something.
Well, and it probably is.
It's worth questioning.
People are going to be skeptical over anything, but what you can't take away from them is the fact that they did help, set this into motion with the UFO disclosure, with the leaked videos. They definitely had a part in it. And I remember when I was younger, I didn't even really like Blink-182 back then. I still don't really love Blink-182. I don't love Angels and Airwaves. I think they're both good. There's some really good songs from both that I really like. And I think Mark Hoppus also had a band he did after. Was it Plus 44? Is that who it was?
Yep.
Okay. All three have really good music. But they were never my favorites. But I still remember, the rumor, because, again, I wasn't super into him, but the big rumor of, oh, man, Tom DeLonge, the guy from Blink-182, quit the band to go look for aliens. And even I laughed. I'm like, that's ridiculous. What a waste of fame. And then, 20 years later, I'm talking about it on this show. So in 20 years from now, who will be talking about me doing this show and then what I've done for the community? No one. Because I won't achieve anything. Okay. Let's move on.
If anything, it's just going to be indictments. You don't want to get into that this early.
So many lawsuits. Mr. 100. 100 lawsuits at any given point. The Stranger Things Season 4 trailer dropped, and I forgot to watch it before the show. Damn it.
I haven't watched it yet either.
Damn it.
I have. I wasn't even aware.
I spent today in an angry stupor, so I had no clue it dropped.
I just spent today in an angry stupor.
If we watch it live, we're going to get a DCMA. We're going to get taken down. We try to watch it live. It ain't going to work.
Oh, we're already going to get one because I was playing copyrighted music. See, they can't get me now. They can't get me now because we don't monetize the Facebook show.
Is it double jeopardy?
The biggest...
If you do it once, they can't get you again.
Well, the biggest problem that we had before was that I couldn't get the video from Facebook because it's buried under so many links if you have anything copyrighted flagged. But I beat them because now I record the show while I'm filming it live, so I don't give a fuck what Facebook does anymore. I'll flip you the double birds. I'll do what I want. Now, with that said, we're still not going to watch it on the air because that would be very boring for the people that are listening to this later. You know,
that's true. That's very true.
So I guess
I'm gonna watch it while you talk.
That is fine. And let me know what you think, because if nothing else to take away from this is that, hey, Stranger Things does have a trailer out for season 4. It is available now.
I can't watch, listen at the same time. I'm not coordinated like that.
Lindsay doesn't understand that last night what I did was I sat
in... What you did last night, I'm like, I'm going to the other room because this is too much crap.
I sat in my chair playing...
Tanner gets it.
No.
So, okay, here's the thing. We know what you were doing. We know that you were playing multiple video games and watching TV at the same time. But the phrasing of that did not come out well, because you were like, last night I was in here. And Lindsay goes, I couldn't deal with that. I had to go in the other room what you were doing last night. I couldn't. And the longer it went, the more I was like, please, please stop. I'm looking at Tanner, and he's like, I get it. We get it. We're on the same wavelength.
I don't know why Lindsay wants me to get canceled.
I can't handle multimedia stuff at once. Like, I have never been able to understand the watching TV and listening to music at the same time, or like just dual videos at the same time. It's too much. I can't.
Well, I did a lot. Point is,
not what it sounded like.
Stranger Things season 4. Well, I can't make reference to the things she said before that Dalton took the wrong way. That is for a different show. Stay tuned to this Thursday's After Dark when we talk about that. We also will talk about R. Kelly being found guilty of sex trafficking.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was.
That's the remix to Conviction.
About to go to prison. All right. In other entertainment news, there's a couple quick ones here. Creepshow season 3 just started last week. Tanner, did you get a chance to watch the first episode yet?
No, I have not.
I did.
I'm redoing my shutter, so it's kind of MIA for a moment on that.
It was okay. The first one was about, I don't want to spoil anything for you, but the first one, plant monster. Second one, giant bee. It's more interesting than it sounds. But Creepshow, I'm a big giant fan of. Bee. Okay, so I'll tell you more. So these three kids, they're in love with this, I think she's an R&B singer, or she's a singer of some kind. And they like find out this secret information that she's going to be at this hospital because she's apparently pregnant. So they break into the hospital to see her because they're so obsessed with her. And I won't spoil anything. Let's just say the name of the section is Queen Bee. That's a play on so many things. I don't want to spoil it, but yeah, it does get pretty gross. It gets pretty gross. We'll just leave it at that.
Sounds like it.
Creepshow is fantastic. It's based on the old movie, which was based on the old EC comics. And if you've never seen the movie, if you've never seen the TV show, go for it. It's on Shudder. In fact, all of it's on Shudder. Creepshow 1, Creepshow 2, and the TV show are now on Shudder. So I definitely recommend that. They're some of my absolute favorite horror. Another thing I wanted to mention, I haven't watched it yet, but Hunter apparently has, and he had good things to say about it, Midnight Mass. By Mike Flanagan, right?
Mike Flanagan, yes. Yeah. So it's got a good pedigree going all the way back to Haunting of Hill House. And I know we all kind of, you know, Haunting of Bly Manor was good.
It wasn't
as good as Hill House. I think we're all pretty much in agreement on that.
Yeah.
Hill House really kind of had it all. It had the drama, it had the family suspense, it had the horror.
Yeah.
Midnight Mass might be even better. And I'm dead serious. Midnight Mass is that well acted. The plot is unbelievable. Okay, here's what I'm going to say about it going in that sounds derogatory, and then I'm going to explain it. It's very slow. It's a really stilled from the get-go.
That's fine.
A lot of the show is based in conversations. There are scenes that last... Okay, you remember... In Hill House, when they did those single camera shots that just lasted for like half an episode, like there were no cuts for like 30 minutes straight. This is that, only sometimes it's just conversations. It's just two people talking. And the fact that they're getting through that without ever having to cut away, without ever having to do another take to get this person to get the right inflection on something or to get across the right message, it is a perfect marriage of script writing, of acting, and of pacing. And to me, that is suspense in a nutshell. Because it's unnerving, and the first episode actually is probably a little faster than some of the others. Like, after that, it slows down a pretty decent amount. It's unnerving, but it's never blatant about what's going on until... So, there's 7 episodes total. We just finished the 5th one. We're not done with it yet. We got 2 more to go. Until somewhere around episode 3 or 4, about halfway through, then you pretty much get the full picture of the overarching story. But there's still these little reveals along the way of, oh, that's what was going on there. Oh, that's what's coming up here. Like I said, we just finished episode 5. Episode 5 had an ending that rivals the Bent Neck Lady. Legitimately. That's not a story. It is that good. And it is that interesting. I'm expecting we're going to do our 30 days of horror coming up soon. I'm going to spoil it now. Number one on my list of new stuff is Midnight Mass. So if you're not watching it yet, it's a shame in the, like, just in this area that the temperature went back up, because it was so nice over the weekend when it was kind of cool, almost cold outside at night, and we were watching it then. Yeah. Moody, atmospheric, extremely well acted, really well paced. Don't miss it. It's worth your time.
Okay. Well, that's a glowing recommendation if I ever heard one. I do plan on checking this out. This will probably be one of my, Halloween watches. Not just on Halloween, but through October. Like, yeah.
That's why I'm putting it on the list.
Right. When Haunting of Hill House, when Hill House came out, we watched that through October and were captivated. I think we watched Bly Manor in October. I'm pretty sure.
I don't remember.
But I'm pretty sure.
We may have started it in October. I don't know if we completely finished it in October.
Yeah, it was a weird time period, so we didn't get to watch stuff as quickly as we would have liked. But anyway, so yeah, Midnight Mass on Netflix, check that out. Diablo 2 came out, and I know you're like, Shannon, what's all these weird things? Well, I mean, this is kind of horror-related, and since this is a show kind of dedicated to that stuff, I feel like we should talk about it. Diablo 2 came out, and last week on Thursday, we debated on how long it would take Jesse to buy the game. Well, you know, despite our objection to Blizzard and Activision and the lawsuit against them, well, that boycott lasted all of like a day for me because I bought it. And then once Jesse saw that I bought it, he bought it. So it was kind of a domino effect. It didn't last very long. But I can say that Diablo 2, the remaster that they've done, Resurrected, is really good. I know it's kind of hard to support Blizzard right now with everything that's happened, but... You have to remember that, especially with something like this, there were a lot of good people that had nothing to do with Blizzard that made this game. This was not Blizzard that made this remaster. So I kind of don't have a problem supporting these people that poured their heart and soul into this. And it is fun. So if you get a chance, Diablo 2 is out. It's $40. I recommend it. Very good. I saw today that there's a show coming out with Demi Lovato. It starts September 30th on Peacock. Tanner, I don't know if you'd heard of this one. It's called Unidentified with Demi Lovato. And... it is about their search for, you know, aliens, basically. I was going to make fun of this. Because I'm not a big Demi Lovato fan. I don't have anything against them, you know, personally. But they had something a couple years ago that I thought was absolutely stupid. And I made fun of it to no end then. And it was when they came out with this thing. It was hashtag X. And it was whenever you go to drive or whenever you're doing something, you post hashtag X on your social media. So people know not to to call you or text you while you're driving there, you know, to stop wrecks and stuff like that, because people are, you know, so distracted by their phone. And like, I get that and I fully support that, but can you just not look at your phone? I mean, like, instead of having to put hashtag X, just put the phone down and don't pick it up. Like, someone texting you, you don't have to look at the phone. If someone texts, just because someone messages you doesn't mean you have to pick it up on the spot. So I think telling them not to text you, I guess because the temptation is so much, I just didn't get it, so I made fun of it. But I was also, that was literally like 6-7 years ago, when I'm a lot of different person than I was back then. So I don't think it's as ridiculous as I did then. But anyway, Unidentified with Demi Lovato starts September 30th on Peacock. I'm not going to make fun of it because they remind me a lot of me. And Hunter said earlier that we all grew up on this kind of stuff and we became fascinated with it. We wanted to find out more, and so did they. So I'm curious to see where it goes. It is Demi Lovato, their sister Dallas Lovato, which I didn't know existed, and some guy. And they're going to go look for aliens. So September 30th on Peacock, check that out.
I was pretty sure Demi's only sister was Poot. You guys know about Poot Lovato, right?
I don't know if this is a bit, and I don't want to get drawn into it.
Well, I'll be sending you some reading material post-haste.
Oh, Lord, I don't like that. Lastly, Lindsay, you'll like this. William Shatner is going into space.
Okay,
well, I thought there'd be a better reaction.
He already went to space.
He
went all over the place. It was the final frontier.
He is going on Jeff Bezos' New Shepard spacecraft in October. William Shatner, at age 90, is going into space. God bless you, Bill Shatner. God bless you. Hunter, I need you to not send me things like that during the show. Hold on.
I told you I was going to explain Poud Lovato.
Hold on. I'll fix this. Hold on. So what I did was I posted hashtag...
Wow.
I posted hashtag X so Hunter
hashtag
knows.
X while you're doing the show.
So he knows not to post things.
While you do the show.
While I do the show.
Did you see the Family Feud thing before that, too? Because there's more. It's one of the little joys I get of the day if we're doing a show just to try to break the boy.
This is,
and if I can do it once, I'll let it go. I won't do it again.
This is not the time nor the place. That's for Fridays. All right. Let's get into the stories.
All right.
This what was that buzzing? That was my phone. Why'd you buzz? It's probably Facebook saying they're suing me. Yeah, actually, I think it is. I'll get to it in a minute. The first story... And this one is kind of disappointing to me. I'm going to take this one, and this ties back into what we talked about with Tom DeLonge earlier. This is from The Hollywood Reporter, and it reads as such. The former director of a secretive U.S. government UFO program is ready to tell his full story. Luis Elizondo, who headed the Pentagon's Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program's effort to study UFOs around the world, has signed a book deal with William Morrow, an imprint of HarperCollins, after a competitive bidding war for the U.S. publishing rights. The memoir, quote, promises to reveal shocking, never-before-shared details regarding what Elizondo has learned about UFOs and the profound implications for humanity, all of which will escalate what is already a hot topic globally. Said Elizondo in a statement, quote, the American people now know a small portion of what I and my colleagues in the Pentagon have been privy to, that these UAP, unidentified aerial phenomenon, which is the new official term for UFOs, are not secret U.S. technology, that they do not seem to belong to any known allies or adversaries, and that our intelligence services have yet to identify a terrestrial explanation for these extraordinary vehicles. This conversation is only just beginning. Now, Elizondo is a former U.S. Army counterintelligence special agent and helped hunt drug traffickers, terrorists, and spies. In 2008, he was asked to be part of the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, a $22 million program sponsored by then-Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid to study UFOs. In 2010, he was made director of the program, and in 2017, he resigned from his position in protest of excessive government secrecy regarding UFOs. Elizondo was also involved in, here we go, to the SARS Academy of Arts and Sciences from 2017 to 2020. Sorry, I've had a lot of wine. And appeared on History Channel's Unidentified Inside America's UFO Investigation. 2019, a Pentagon spokesperson attempted to cast doubt on Elizondo's leadership role within the AATIP, but Reid issued a counterstatement that firmly vouched for Elizondo's position. So here's my problem with this, is that you have this information that is apparently so important. This is a topic that is hot, it's controversial, UFOs are finally being taken seriously, we're talking about it on the news, on every channel, up until they found something else to talk about, but it's finally something that we are talking about in a serious way, and it's not just crackpots with tinfoil hats. And Luis Elizondo is at the forefront of it. This is the guy that started this thing with, you know, to the Stars Academy. And he has all this extra information and all this extra stuff. And if you want to know what it is, you got to buy his book. I get that's
right.
That's capitalism at work, Frylock. But, like, that just, it upsets me. Like, if you want to tell, the way I look at books and paywalls and stuff like that is, if you have a story to tell, if you create a story, and I know I'm wrong on this, but I'm going to say it anyway. If you create a story, you have a fictional story, whatever, and you want to sell that, I don't have a problem with that because you're telling a story. It's not important. It's a story. But if you have, like, information, especially information that seems like it's this vital to the future of humankind. I mean, it says right here, it's shocking, never-before-shared details regarding what Elizondo's learned and the profound implications for humanity. but you have to buy his book to find out what it is. That after everything that Elizondo has done to push this agenda, this just kind of feels like a slap in the face. Am I wrong on that? Like, am I seeing this the wrong way?
No.
No, but here's the thing. You got to start looking at this from the flip side, because you've started answering your own question here. If he has such profound information, why would you lock it behind a book? Maybe the right question to ask is, does he have profound information? Like, it's all well and good to say, yeah, he started this conversation, he had a lot of stuff to say, he's been helpful in getting some things unlocked and getting the government to disclose some stuff. I think, here's my theory, all right, maybe this is just me, but here's my theory. When all the, what was it called, the Black Vault, when all that stuff was dumped earlier this year,
yeah,
and all that came out, and of course, so like 90% of it was redacted. There was next to nothing to look at other than basic confirmation that, yes, there are things flying around in our sky. We don't know where they came from. We can neither confirm nor deny that they are extraterrestrial in origin, but there's things flying around. We all kind of knew that, and we've talked about this before. We kind of assumed that. It was nice to have somebody say it, but we kind of assumed that was the case. I don't want to say fear, but I theorize that Elizondo went, shit. Now I got nothing.
Yeah.
Right? They kind of confirmed what I was going to say. I don't have anything more really than that to say. So what can I really do but go, well, there's other little bits of information here and there that probably don't really amount to a hill of beans at the end of the day. But if I put it in a book, I get some money out of that. If I put it out there for free, I get nothing. And I don't really have anything to say anyway. If it was so profound and important and everything, then one of two things would happen. Like you said, A, he would offer it for free. Or B, more realistically, he'd never be able to offer it without the risk of washing up on a beach somewhere after a boating accident, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So,
well,
of course he's going to write a book.
Actually, to that point, I want to say really quick that if ever there was a time to let someone reveal something that is, incredibly controversial or incredibly secretive, now is the best time to do it, because most of America doesn't believe facts that are put right in front of their face. Yeah. So I keep saying it. He's a great actor, Hector Elizondo. Luis Elizondo can come out and say whatever he wants, and like the people that are going to believe him are going to believe him anyway because they want to believe. And the people that don't believe him will absolutely say, this is trash, who cares? So he could very well come out and say whatever he wants right now, and I don't think anything bad would happen to him because the government knows that no one believes anybody about anything anymore. Facts have no place in America at this point. Donald Trump, he just sent his cyber ninjas out in Arizona to verify that he won the election after multiple recounts, and the cyber ninjas came back and said, actually, not only did you lose, you lost by more than they originally said. And so what did Donald Trump do with that information? He then went and gave a speech where he bragged about how he was completely proven right and that they should turn the election over to him. Facts have no place in America at this point. So Luis Elizondo,
I just want to quickly point out Cyber Ninja was my favorite G.I. Joe villain.
I
liked making him fight against Joe.
I hated when they renamed him Storm Shadow. Like, Cyber Ninja was so much better. But yeah.
I like when he fought G.I. Joe Exotic. That was fun. Fuck. Anyway. He can't.
I don't think
do it.
Watched that clip.
Oh, no, I can't get G.I. Joe Exotic out of my head. Oh.
It was a robot chicken thing. You got to go back and watch it. It was good.
Oh, I absolutely hate it. Anyway, Tanner, you've been awful quiet. What are your thoughts on this?
Man, I don't know. Most times I feel like I do take issue with people putting important information behind a paywall if there is any important information in this book. I get it. It's a business still. At the end of the day, it's still a business. I don't know. That's my opinion of it. I get it. It's a business. You got to make money somehow. If you're just giving all the information away, you're not going to be, earning anything to continue these projects, especially when you don't have the kind of funding that most other scientific programs have coming in.
Yeah, but I feel like this almost feels like it's a, it's exploitation. It feels like he started with a good mission. And then once he saw,
if that money's going straight into his pocket and it's not going into the program, then it's 100% exploitation. But if that money is going to fund further research, then I have no issue with it whatsoever. Even if a portion of the money is just going to fund research, I have no issue.
I think the sad part is I don't think we'll ever know whether or not it is. Like, we'll never know for sure if it's going into his pocketbook or if it's going into something more important. I really looked at Luis Salazar.
This is
going
to be... Sorry, go ahead. Oh, I got an ending to this. Go ahead.
Okay, good, because we need a segue. I was just going to say that I really appreciated and respected Luis Elizondo and what he has done for all of this. Like, he was the guy. He was the face behind all of this. And to see it go this way, if he's trying to make money off of it, just to make money off of it, it feels very wrong. And I'm very disappointed. And I hope that's not the case. And like, I get everyone wants to make money, and everybody that is apparently what drives everybody. But it never really drove me. And but who the hell knows? I don't know. Hunter, what do you got?
The way that you can do anything about this on a personal level is this. Don't buy the book. I'm not going to tell you to pirate the book either. Don't get me wrong. You don't have to go try to find some third-party site. Just let somebody else buy the book. And within literally hours somewhere of the book being released, yeah, you don't even need a review. Within literally hours, if not minutes, of the thing being released,
it's on
every conventionally like important piece of information, anything that might even be useful, will immediately, yeah, it'll be on Reddit, it'll be all over the internet. There will be 14 articles from different sites that are just citing each other, saying, you know, here's the bullet points, here's the things that he said. Is there anything worth taking away from it? I mean, I hate to be that way because, again, I also I like this guy. I feel like he had some he had some clout. He had some things going for him. You and I talked a lot about, actually, all of us talked a lot about how he was lending a lot of credence and a lot of goodwill to this particular community. And this is the kind of thing that could kind of F all of that up. So, yeah. I'm not going to tell you to pirate his book, but I am going to tell you don't buy it. Just don't buy it.
Tanner, last point.
Somebody will.
Well, so, because of the goodwill that he's done towards this research in the past and all the good things he's done, I'm not going to say all the money is going to go to research, because I'm sure some of the money from these book sales are going to go in his pocket. Person's got to make a living. It's that simple. He put all kinds of work into writing a book and getting it published. He deserves some kind of payment. But I would almost... I'd have to think it's almost a guarantee that some of that money, if not most of it, is going into further research.
You want to believe.
I want to believe that that's what it is, but it would also, honestly, man, it would take somebody, you know, blowing that, you know, story, you know, putting it out there that that's what's happening, that all that money was going straight to his pocket and not to research.
But I don't think they will, because I don't think it's important enough to mainstream media to cover something like that. Like, mainstream media got what they wanted, and I knew it was going to be this way. Mainstream media got, they got the buzz, they got people to watch because it was a big thing, they pushed it, they got their ratings, and then once the report came out and it was exactly what we thought it was going to be, it was basically saying, well, we don't know for sure, but we can't rule it out. Once they got that, they moved on to the next topic, whether it be COVID again or whatever. So I don't think mainstream media is going to follow up on it.
It's not going to be mainstream media. It's going to be people like Michael Huntington, people like Scott Walter. These are going to be people who are coast to coast. These are going to be people who are on the inside of these side of foundations and different organizations, who are going to realize what's happened and then get that news story out to the people.
Well,
that's how we find out about
which it. Is why, again, I say don't buy the book, because they're going to tell you anything pertinent from that. I am perfectly fine with paying for lots of different kinds of books, like fictional novels. I like nonfiction stuff. Before his scandal, I was a big proponent of Jeffrey Toobin, because he's an incredible writer. Again, I take nothing away from the ridiculous thing that he did, and he's, you know, should absolutely pay for it in the way that he did, if not more so. But I'm fine with paying for something that is additional information on something that's already happened, nothing that's going to then be revelatory that needs to be introduced to the public. I'm not fine with paying for what amounts to clickbait.
Right.
Even if there is good information behind it, I'm not fine with paying for that. So, like you said, all this little news circle are going to be the ones that get into it, the coast to coasts and those sorts of sites. Let them do it. Let them give you the Cliff's Notes. And then if you really want it and you want to hear it in his terms, then go get it if you really want it. But I can't see myself ever buying this book,
and
honestly.
And it doesn't change anything. Last thing, and then we'll move on, I promise. So it doesn't change anything. Even if his book comes out and it is filled with good information, even if it's filled with truths, it won't change anything. And I know because, like, I bought Bob Woodward's book, Fear? I bought, like, two...
Did you even read it?
I did. I've read, like, two... I read James Comey's book. I have it on my shelf over here. I read all these books about these terrible things that a certain former president did. I'm not going to name names. And you know what it changed of the public's perception of him? Dick. Because everyone kind of already knew that stuff anyway. So it didn't really help anything. So even if Luis Elizondo's book comes out and it's filled with absolute, you know, a gold mine of information about this, no one will believe it. No one will care. We are now short. We're past the point of people caring about. I was going to say we're past the point of people caring about UAPs. Short of aliens coming down and, like, actual physical contact, to quote Peter Venkman, or Ray Stantz. I don't remember. It's been a while. I have to watch movies again.
It was Ray.
Yeah, it was Ray. Short of something like that happening, Cody, shut up. We will never hear about it. So, Hunter, last thing, this time for real.
In terms of that, just to piggyback on that point, in terms of said former president who will not be named, just to put that in perspective, we purchased two books about this guy. One that was written by his sister. That was this big. This is the mistake. This big revelatory. Oh, we're gonna learn all these things about from when he was a kid and why he is the way he is. Blah blah blah. And another by Jeffrey Toobin, which was specifically about the investigation, the Comey investigation, or Mueller. Sorry, the Mueller investigation.
Right.
The latter was the better book, and it wasn't just because it was, like, better written or anything like that. It was something that already happened. It was not produced as a way of going, wow, the headline for it, the tagline was not, you won't believe what he did this time. Click here to find out. It was, here's all this information. You already know what happens. Here's some kind of behind-the-scenes information of why these things were happening the way they were in an attempt to explain them, as opposed to when he was a kid, he used to kick frogs or something. I'm making that up. I don't know.
Frog
I don't
stomping. That's what he's frog stomping.
Probably that sounds right.
Yeah,
frog stomping out there in the blue water.
Saint Denis. Yeah,
but it's just that's the kind of thing I no longer want to spend my money on. I'm not going to spend money on you won't believe what happens next, because here's the thing. Yeah, Will, I always will. You're not ever going to hit me with some information that I won't believe, this being the exact same thing.
And man,
if he really was going to, it wouldn't be in a book that is coming out this way.
That has become, well, I say it was the future. It is currently the present of entertainment is clickbait, like, everywhere. Like you just said, I prefer stuff like this. I prefer books about what happened. Like you just said, I prefer what happened, not guess what's going to happen or guess what happened. Like, I like when you tell me.
Do you remember a time when people didn't care about movie spoilers? It's the same concept.
Yeah.
Nowadays, we're so concerned about what's going to happen. And yeah, a lot of that's because we have that background information and people are backstage and they get info long before the movie comes out. There was a time when that was way less prevalent because clickbait wasn't really a thing.
And
you went to the movie, you watched the movie.
There are people that I like that I watch, especially on YouTube, that their channels have just turned into clickbait. Like they post they post thumbnails of things that didn't happen, or you know I did this and this happened, or you won't believe what happened when I did this, and like I hate it, man. I absolutely hate it because it's always disappointing, but we keep clicking on it because we want to believe that it's going to be something spectacular this time. Luis Elizondo's he's not going to get my money. I'm gonna Reddit the shit out of it. And it's not that I don't want to hear what he has to say. I do want to hear what he has to say, but I don't want to pay for it at Barnes & Noble. Like, this is journalism. And I get journalism is for sale. It absolutely is. CNN, like, there is no real journalistic source that does it for free. That's just not a thing. Journalism is business too. But I don't know, man. This just feels like a slap in the face. We can't talk about it all night. Let's move on. Hunter, I've had too much wine. Will you read the next one?
I will drink the next one for you right now. So, in case you're in the market, you know, we're in a housing market right now where people are buying houses left and right.
I did.
Right? It is. That's in my mouth. Gross. It is the time to buy. It's the time to buy houses, and I have one to sell to you, the real-life Conjuring house.
I'll buy it.
Up for sale again. Of course.
It's not free real estate.
Hang on.
I'll take it.
It's not free real estate, Cody. In 2013, of course, The Conjuring was released and shaped the future of horror movies for the past, you know, almost decade at this point. It's a little remote Rhode Island farmhouse. A real-life haunting, for the record, that plagued the Perrin family for years. A story goes that a witch cursed the property and doomed anyone who lived there. The Perrins themselves experienced all manner of unexplained occurrences, which got more and more sinister as time went on. More recently, the house was purchased by Madison Heinzen and her family. This was in 2019, just a couple of years ago. Not long, of course, then, before they, too, experienced unexplained phenomena. They have reported sightings of a woman in a wedding dress, hearing disembodied footsteps in the hallways at night, doors slam for no rhyme or reason. Madison's dad, Corey, who I assume is the one who actually purchased the house. That's a weird way to phrase that. The house was purchased by Madison Heinzen. No, it wasn't. It was purchased by her mom and dad. But Corey Heinzen has said, quote, "I don't have the feeling of anything evil, but it is very busy. You can tell there's a lot of things going on." 2 years after moving in, the family has apparently had enough. The property is now officially listed as for sale. They bought it for the record, they bought it for $439,000.
Woo!
You paid almost half a mil to get haunted for 2 years. I don't know what they have it listed for. It doesn't say here. I'm guessing Tanner does because he has his hand.
No.
Up.
So.
Okay. that was great.
He just wants to interrupt.
Well, yeah. Well, not so much interrupt, but so Hunter introduced me to a pretty good podcast network earlier this year, last year, at some point.
It was pretty good. That's all right.
It's all right. it's no Podzilla. But they came out
with Aaron Mankey's Grim and Mild. Which episode or which show is it? Lore or Haunted Road?
Haunted Road. Episode.
Okay.
I think 3 or 4. It's called
Haunted Road with Shannon. You would recognize Amy Bruni. From well, what's their show?
Well, she was on Ghost Hunters, and after Ghost Hunters, she did Kindred Spirits.
It's the other one.
Yes. Yeah.
Kindred Spirits. That's the one that she references all the time. Yeah.
So like the third or fourth episode of this first season is completely on this house. So the mom and dad, Jen and Corey, they talk constantly about the paranormal stuff that's happening. They mention they don't feel anything evil ever happening. I think the biggest issue they run into is people trespassing, trying to see the house in the middle of the night. Yep. That may be the issue. That may be one of the reasons why they're selling, because they can't get any damn peace because people are rude and just they're assholes. I can't.
Well,
I looked it up for the record, real quick. They bought the house at $439,000 2 years ago. They would currently like you to purchase it for $1.2 million.
Oh,
literally no. Over twice what they paid for it.
No, that's not
they
how
believe that this house
work.
has doubled in value,
you know,
in the past 2 years. And the question becomes: did they do any work to allow it to double in value, or did it double in value based on
the infamy.
On the there you go. That's a good word for it. That's what I was looking for.
Haunted real estate is really, like, we're seeing that real estate, regular real estate, has spiked immensely. You put a house up for sale on a good market in a good town, gone quick and hurt. Haunted real estate has gotten even bigger. It's ridiculous.
You know, and that's funny you say that, because it's the exact opposite in Japan. In Japan, they literally, we've talked about this on the show before, in Japan, they slash the prices of houses if they're supposedly haunted, because their spiritual side, they don't want to live in a house with ghosts. If you put a house up where people were murdered, or if you say that it's haunted, if there's ghosts there, they will knock the price down ridiculously just to sell it, because people are so cautious about buying it. But here in America, yeah, Zach Bagans will go around and buy every house that is supposedly haunted. You know, if
I've bought this already, what the hell?
Good Lord, $1 million, man. That's...
He can afford it.
That's a lot of money.
Can he? Are you sure? That boy, he's kind of like Stephen Bright. He's got his money all tied up in the pomade. I don't know if he's he's got the cash for ready
for that. The pomade and, like, the affliction t-shirts. You know, he's got
See, I assume he was getting those for free at these points. They can't sell them anyway. He's just sending them a pile.
It's just him and, like, Jerry Lawler for some reason. Makes no sense at all.
That's true.
I'm gonna go out on a limit and say it to begin with that I didn't think The Conjuring was that good. First off, I know everyone heralds it as like a classic, and it's not bad, but it's not the end all. You said that it shaped horror for the next like really 10 years, and like I almost disagreed with you.
But then I was like, no, he's right. Yeah, there it is. Yeah.
And,
I mean, to be fair, I do think it was good. I don't think it was as great as a lot of people heralded it to be. I do not understand why it spawned a cinematic universe. That seemed a little unnecessary. But, I mean, yeah, I phrased that the way I did specifically because the movies that have flowed out of after that are, like, 90% of horror is modeled on that premise. And to be fair, I mean, granted, a lot of that came from Insidious before that.
Right.
Insidious did it better the first time.
Yeah.
But The Conjuring is the one that took off. Nobody remembers the name Insidious. They go, it's the Conjuring movie with those people.
Yeah.
And you go, yeah, okay. Sure.
And I love all of the people in that movie. I love everyone in that
Patrick
film.
Patrick Wilson.
Vera, I can't pronounce her last name.
Farmiga.
Oh, is it that simple? I thought it was something way more complicated.
Farmiga.
Tanner, what's up?
I think it's Vera
Farmiga.
I think your opinion of The Conjuring is biased right now because you're still on a James Wan hate kick.
No, I will say, all right, so Conjuring, the first Conjuring is fucking Citizen Kane compared to Malignant, first off. The second Conjuring was legitimately good.
They had a tumor, Shannon!
Conjuring 2 is actually one of my favorite horror movies of the past like 10 years, so I can't make fun of that. Every other movie in that universe, whether it be Annabelle or stuff like that, like, they're not bad, but they're like Pixar films to me. They're all good, but they just feel the same. Man, they all feel like the same. They don't feel different from each other.
I would argue that they're not even all good. The first Annabelle, okay. The second one, real bad. The Nun, the worst of all of them.
I have not watched The Nun.
They continuously just get dumber and dumber.
I have.
We watched The Nun, and I left, okay, The Nun was on HBO, so we watched it for free. I left that viewing, like, I got up off the couch feeling like the guy from Billy Madison. Everyone in the room is now dumber for having heard what you had to say.
You are no points.
No points. And may God have mercy on his soul.
So, with that...
Back to Zach Bagans' point real quick. That man's worth $30 million. Go buy the house, Zach.
Yeah, go buy it and give it to me, because
That's like 1/30th of his empire then, man. And also, to be fair, worth $30 million doesn't mean the boy has $30 million. That means if he were to liquidate all of his assets, he might have $30 million.
That's true. That is actually true. But
there's no way.
But I agree with Tanner in the sense that if he can, I think he will find a way to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, he buys...
I thought you were going to say, I think he should give it to you.
Well, he should. I would love to live in a haunted house. Specifically, when I was looking for a house to buy, Lindsay will tell
What's wrong with the one you're in?
Well, it's not haunted.
creepy crawlies.
It's just got spiders. Yeah. But I would ask... I asked Aaron Aaron and Brianna, I would ask them, like, hey, is this house haunted? Is there any activity? And they would tell me the truth. No. And that I was disappointed every time. So I would totally live in a haunted house. I think it would be a lot of fun. Because the weird thing with ghost hunters in general, and I'm not saying Tanner, because Tanner is a much more seasoned ghost hunter than me for sure. But Tanner will I hope, agree with me on this. When you watch ghost hunters on television, whether it be Ghost Hunters, Ghost Adventures, Ghost Brothers, which is a real show, or any of the other shows that they do, they always run away from the ghost when they find it. Anytime they see an apparition, the first instinct is to take off. The exact opposite of what you went there to do.
Scooby-Doo!
So, I would love to have a haunted house so I could actually, like, chase the ghost down. I want to see the ghost. I want the ghost. It's like Eddie Murphy in Golden Child. I want the ghost.
Who's got the ghost?
So, which makes me want to talk about my last ghost hunting experience, talking about everybody running away from it.
Well, you save that shit for later, because we got a preview at the end of the night. You don't reveal anything right now.
Yeah.
So, anyway, if you would like to purchase that house, you can go away, because that is a very bad idea. We're going to skip the Nessie story, because I'm going to be honest with you. It was a two-part story. One about a sighting in where was this? I don't even see where it is in
Loch Ness, perhaps.
It's in Loch Ness, Hunter. There was a video of Nessie, and then at the same time, there was a video of a Chinese one in, I can't pronounce the name of the river. It starts with a Y, and I'm going to butcher it, so I'm not even going to try. But that footage was really cool, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. I want to watch it live on the show and show it to everybody. But no, Hunter, stop. It turns out that story was actually from 2 years ago. Oh, I gotta look up. It was from 2 years ago, and they posted it again, which I hate when they do that. The other thing is this video just looks like some driftwood. A spoiler alert, it's some driftwood. So we're just gonna skip it. But we will go to the last one.
I think we have talked about Nessie a little bit, but let's just get real. Let's just put it out there again. There probably is some kind of creature. It's not a dinosaur. It's not. I mean, it's just something that people can't. Yeah, it's just a big thing that still lives in the deep, and we can't get a hold of it.
It's a big fish. And you know what? If it is a dinosaur, if it is a plesiosaur, like a lot of people think it is, I'm glad, yeah. And I will find that a million times more interesting than Bigfoot. Bigfoot, hashtag, go fuck yourself. No one cares about you. You're a terrible, terrible cryptid. And no one cares about it.
Hang on. You need to save that for later, because Bigfoot actually just tweeted out a hashtag X. He's driving right now. We got to let him.
Son of a Bigfoot.
Got to let him get his stuff done.
Oh, no. Quentin just jumped in.
Thank you, Quentin. Thank you.
Quentin said, I love Bigfoot. Oh, man, I'm sorry. Bigfoot has always bored the shit out of me.
Son of a Von Drew.
It's just a giant ape. Jonathan Wheeler, have you gone out to the Bollinger Mill at 3 a.m. and standing on the bridge? I have not. I've not heard of that. Tell me more, Jonathan, while we go on with this next story. Tanner, you want to read this or you want me to read it? Because I'm still sober.
You're still sober?
Yeah.
I say we're past Nessie.
Never sleep again.
Never sleep again.
Oh, okay. So, a woman in China maintains that she hasn't needed to close her eyes or go to sleep in over 4 decades. Oh, no.
Yeah.
For most of us, several days without sleep could leave us barely able to function. Yet, for
Li Zhanying.
Thank you. A woman from Henan?
Henan. That's fine.
Henan, China. The idea of falling asleep is itself nothing more than a distant memory. Now in her mid-40s, the last time she recalls sleeping was when she was a small child. While this might seem implausible, implausible.
Horse.
There it is.
This is why I don't read out loud.
Well, impossible is what it would. Yeah, nobody has actually seen her sleep. Several of her friends and neighbors have repeatedly attempted to catch her in the act, but to no avail. Incredibly, Lee's claim of having never slept in over 40 years is actually true. Sort of. Doctors have now determined that she suffers from a very rare condition that sees her sleeping while awake and fully conscious. What the hell?
Yes, keep going.
Meaning she can be technically sleeping even while having a conversation with somebody.
Damn.
The medical team used data collected during a 48-hour brainwave monitoring session to reveal that Lee got light and moderate sleep despite neither going to bed or closing her eyes. This sleep while awake phenomenon is similar to sleepwalking. So while she hasn't technically gone without sleep for 40 years, she doesn't need to go to sleep like a normal person. As a result, she has lived a life twice as long as the rest of us.
Yeah, so I read this story originally, and I was like, okay, well, if she says she's never slept, how do they not have any proof of this? Clearly someone would. And then I thought it was a bullshit story, and as I read further into it, and I saw that, I mean, there's nothing supernatural about this. This is just a woman that has a condition where she sleeps while she's completely conscious and awake. She's having conversations while she's asleep, and that blew my mind. How does that even work, man? Because are you cognizant of what you're saying while you're doing this? I hate sleep. Lindsay knows this about me. I hate sleep. I hate sleep. I don't want to sleep. So if I could just be awake all the time, I would love that. So I need to find out what happened to her, and I need that to happen to me.
Replicate.
Yes. I need to be able to not sleep ever, because imagine what you could get done in that time. But like, we were talking about it at work today at my real job, and you know, my coworker Carter was like, could you be held responsible for things that you do while you're technically asleep even if you're awake? Like if you go out and rob a bank because you're technically sleepwalking even though you're fully conscious, could you be held responsible for that. Like, imagine the doctor's note and what you could get away with something like that. It just blows my mind. That, to me, is just amazing.
I think if that was, and now we're just getting into hypotheticals, but if that was that more, that much prevalent, if there were that many people who had it and were running into that, I think what you would run into is a fairly commonplace, okay, you've been diagnosed with this, we had to check you for it, you've been diagnosed with this, what you have. You now have a moral responsibility to basically sequester yourself right. at any point in time that you are going to be, like, because I'm sure you still feel it coming on. Like, I mean, we all know what it feels like when you're about to fall asleep. Assuming that you can still tell when it's happening, then yeah, I would assume that it would be. It's very weird to be like a real world kind of werewolf syndrome of, you know, all right, lock the door, chain yourself up so you don't go flying around.
God damn it,
Chan. Yeah.
That's for Hunter. That was for Hunter.
I liked it. It's good.
So, Lindsay, really quick before we move on to the last part, would you like to have this so you could never sleep and just get everything done?
Much as I would love to be more productive, I enjoy sleeping. So, no.
Waste of time. Absolute waste of time. Imagine what you could get done if you have sleep. Okay. That is it for us tonight when it comes to the stories, but... really quick, Jonathan Wheeler in the chat, I want to say what he was talking about Bollinger Mill. If you want to see stuff and hear stuff, it's worth it. I went with friends and we all took turns standing on the bridge by ourselves. And when I did it, I saw dark figures walk around me. And when I was walking back to my friends, they said they saw a big dark figure at the edge of the bridge on the backside where you can't pull up in your car. Because we were all standing on that side. But my friends even saw that figure. When I walked back, it's worth trying it. Now, there's a lack of punctuation in his statement. That's okay. Because I get the gist of what he's saying. And that actually brings us to the final thing we're going to talk about. I don't know if you guys have checked your calendar. But next week, next Thursday, officially starts the Halloween season here on Podzilla 1985.
Oh, forget the message that I sent you. Because clearly we're going to be doing our list.
Are we going to be doing that this week or next week?
I mean, if it's the start of this one, are you starting on the 30th or are you starting on the first Thursday of October?
We were going to start on the first Thursday of October, but I'll tell you what we can do. Yeah, we'll just start on the first Thursday of October because technically it's not October on the 30th.
Well, I think what Lindsay's getting at is if you're going to do like 30 days of things to watch in Halloween, this Thursday is September 30th, 31st, yeah. 30th. Yeah. Friday is October 1st. So if you do this stuff on this Thursday show, they can start the next day.
Well, we just do both. We'll forego all stories on Thursday and we'll just do...
We won't be able to do both. When we do the list, it takes the entire damn show.
Not this time, because we're really...
Which is fine. I'll just postpone the game I was planning for later. It's not a big deal.
We'll talk about it, because we're really running out of things to suggest. COVID kind of really put a hamper on a lot of movies and things.
Maybe
so,
make it our 13 days of Halloween instead of the 31.
Like,
let me give you a little preview of my list. Midnight Mass Episode 1.
No, Hunter.
Midnight
no.
Mass Episode 2.
Jefferson! Anyway. So this Thursday we will we'll make it this Thursday. This Thursday is the very first episode of the 2021 Halloween season, and we're in honor of us all. Tanner asked me to do it. This Thursday we're bringing back Terrifying Tanner Thursday, and I said absolutely, as long as you show up, because if you don't show up, it's no longer Terrifying Tanner Thursday. But as long as Tanner shows up, which
that's
is shit,
how it used to be. If he was there, it was Tanner Tuesday or Thursday, whichever day. And then when he wasn't, it was Train Wreck.
Or as we called it in.
Don't bring the bit out on the show, please.
No, I'm saying on the other parts, the other parts of Thursdays, it would be are you afraid of PZ85 After Dark, which I like, but I'm excited to bring Terrifying Tanner Thursdays back. It feels like we're going old school. We're taking it back to the roots. What you can expect for the next month is our shows completely dedicated to horror, dedicated to ghosts. We're going to be talking about spooky things. We're going to be doing a lot of cool stuff this Halloween. We're going to play some Phasmophobia. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're very excited for Terrifying Tanner Thursdays. Son of a bitch. Starting this Thursday... September 30th, the very first Terrifying Tanner Thursday here on Podzilla 1985, and we're going to kick it off with telling you guys what to watch this October. We got our lists, we're going to get them ready, and we do it every year. It's a lot of fun. I cannot wait to do it. October is my favorite time of the year for Podzilla 1985. We have a lot of fun with it. So that starts this Thursday, the very first episode of Terrifying Tanner Thursday, and every Thursday in October, you can stay tuned and catch that stuff. And we may do special stuff otherwise. Like, maybe we'll review Halloween Havoc on Pro Wrestling Unscripted. I doubt it, but...
Maybe some on-location stuff.
I would like to do that. Some people in the chat are saying, Quentin said, go to the bridge and do the podcast. I would love to do the podcast from some haunted locations. We have done ghost hunting in the past for Terrifying Tanner Thursday for the October season. We investigated some cemeteries. We investigated, I think that's it. We also played with the Ouija board. Look, it's a lot of fun. It'll be a lot of fun. That starts this Thursday. So stay tuned this Thursday and all month long here on Podzilla 1985. We're going to get in the Halloween spirit. That's going to do it for us tonight here on I Want to Believe. I want to thank all of you guys that stayed with us for the show here in the live chat. If you are listening to this again on Podzilla1985.com later, if you're on iTunes, if you're on Spotify, whatever it is, you can always check us out on Facebook.com/Podzilla1985. We do the show live every day that we do a show. Around 7:45-ish, we air it live on Facebook. We post it later to the other sites so you can catch it first and you can actually see us and interact with us. Facebook.com/Podzilla1985. Otherwise, check us out later on those formats. Okay. Rest of the week, tomorrow, Hunter, it's time. It's finally time. It's
finally time. We're getting back to PZ85 plays. We're going to continue episode 8 of the Star Wars Dawn of Defiance campaign, The Gem of Alderaan. When we last left you, it was 2 weeks ago. We had some technical difficulties last week, so we left with the crew of the Midnight Coterie preparing to board this luxury repulsor train. We're going to find out all about their secret identities and what they're going to be using them for, the information that they're going to be attempting to curry from a wealthy Alderaanian heiress. So you'll find out all about that tomorrow night with these folks plus Cody Sandusky.
And don't forget to check out after the show when we're airing a special all-new mini documentary with Lindsay called Iris Nay Secrets.
Oh, you're going to hate my character's identity. You were going to hate it, and I love it.
I'll take that bet. Wednesday, Pro Wrestling Unscripted returns. Dalton and Asa will be here to cover Extreme Rules and the Dynamite Grand Slam, where we saw Brian Danielson versus Kenny Omega in a 30-minute classic that was so good. Jim Cornette actively praised Kenny Omega. Hell has frozen over.
What?
He openly admitted that the gates of hell have opened. It was that good. Meanwhile, Extreme Rules happened. It was also good with an asterisk. Big old asterisk. And Dalton and Ace are going to talk about all about that Wednesday. Thursday, once again, Podzilla After Dark turns into Terrifying Tanner Thursdays. That's going to be a lot of fun. And Saturday, or Friday, it's Skeletal Horse time.
I thought it was going to be nightmare time.
How about Plague Pony?
I'm not frozen. I just stood still for a moment. Okay. that's this Friday. That's going to do it for us tonight. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Lindsay and Tanner and Hunter, for joining us. Thank you, guys, in the chat. We love you very much. We'll see you tomorrow for PZ85 Plays. Hunter, take us out.
Return to Monkey. Later.